Hello, everyone. My name is Ashley Fowler, and this is
Adriana.
And we both are part of the Usable team here at InterNews. And today we are here with Carrie, Casey, and Tiffany from OK Thanks, a UX Fund grantee under the Usable project. And today we're just going to ask a few questions to try to get to know the team better and better understand the work that they are doing. So to start off, why don't you all tell us a little bit about your organization and each of your roles within that organization?
Sure. I'll kick us off with giving a little bit of background of who we are, and then you all can introduce yourselves. My name is Carrie Winfrey, and I'm the design lead at OK Thanks, and we are a user experience design team. We've been around for about 7 years, and working within the internet freedom space for that whole time. And really within this sphere, we work a lot with development teams to help close the gap between people on the ground and the users that we're designing for and the technology that we're able to develop and bring into the hands of people. So that is me. This is Casey.
I'm Casey. I'm a graphic designer / UI designer / working on UX stuff also. So I got to actually design all of the fun tools in the exploratory.
I'm Tiffany, and I'm the community manager here at OK Thanks. And I guess my role takes on a few different hats, but a lot of it is just working with our communities in coordination with the development teams that we're working with, and getting to be a part of all the fun brainstorm sessions that we do at OK Thanks.
Awesome, thank you. All right, so thank you all for recapping your roles on the team. And just to clarify, you all are the full team?
All right.
Excellent. So the three of you wearing many different hats at any given day. Do you have folks that you work with regularly, or what types of folks or organizations do you work with?
We do, yes. We have a longstanding partnership with the Guardian Project. They're a development team and have been in the internet freedom space for quite a while. So we work regularly with them. We'll have pretty much bi-weekly scrums or weekly scrums on any project that we're working on. And then, yeah, it depends on kind of what else we're working on for the month or the week or the year. We'll work with other development teams. That's primarily development teams, and then if there's a training or an event, we get to work alongside some trainers and actually in the role of OK Thanks being between developers and communities, we often work with the communities themselves and really doing a lot of user research and understanding the needs of the communities and just speaking to them to make sure that anything that does get developed really fits the needs that they have and it works for them and it's useful. So I would say we primarily work with developers and the community and then get a little bit of sprinkles on top of whoever else. Other designers.
Yeah. I'll also throw in CDR, the Center for Digital Resilience, who we're very closely with. And then on a local level, there's small businesses in town that we like to work with and help develop brand identities for. We've worked for startups here locally in the past as well. Again, more on the brand side, making them look more professional when they're in the early stage of having an idea. But so it varies. It varies widely. But.
Awesome, thank you.
And what led you to create the Exploratorium? And can you tell us a little bit about who it was created for and who would find it most useful?
I'll take that one. I'll take it. Okay. So just, I think it was really born out of this desire to want to be able to engage with communities and the people that we are designing for and wanting to know them better in the work that we have been doing with Guardian Project for many years. So I had personally found that we'd be like, we should get some feedback or we want to know more. But when we came to those points, it's like, okay, how do we do that? And it was kind of like, we need to approach this as another project, because there weren't really like easy, obvious ways to do that and to get that process started. So internally here in our team, we've been kind of trying to find ways to do that, so that when we come to that point, it's like we have something ready or some kind of framework in place that makes that process easier and less of a kind of breaking down that barrier of like, how do we do this? We like, we're at the end of our budget on this project. We can't, like, we don't really have the resources to spend the time to think about how to get this going. So these were meant to kind of like jumpstart that process and give immediate ways to say like, great, we know someone in this place. I'm not going to mention any in particular, but we know someone here. We want to hear from their community, like use this, like go get user stories or run this or whatnot, depending on what the need for that particular project is.
And I'll add that I can remember some of the early conversations about what this could look like or what this could be. And I think one of us had been to an event and it just became evident that there was this desire from other people in the community as well to know like how to get feedback that's useful, kind of make it fun and engaging for the participants while also gathering information that would be useful for the development teams. And so I think that's also where a lot of the conversation began, was just around like, okay, well, we do this internally, but is there a way to help create things that are also utilized by other members of the community that would be beneficial? And yeah.
And I think we also found at IFF, just doing like workshops with the activities that we've created, that a lot of them span across different roles. Like they're useful for different types of roles. So we started with this desire to get feedback to developers. Yes, but then we, like some of the activities we designed could be like tweaked to be really helpful for just the activists within their own community, like not as a feedback tool, as well as like, I want to know my community better. I want to know who my end user is better. Like, I want to be able to create a persona for these people, and just really easy ways to break that down and be tangible for developers and designers and organizations and activists. So across the board, it's great for everyone. Tell your parents.
So you've touched on this quite a bit about, you know, engaging with users and kind of the different folks that it's valuable for, but can you go a bit deeper about why it is so important to engage with users, particularly those in at-risk communities, and kind of what value you see in reaching out and connecting with those communities?
So I think we found here that the things that we're designing, you know, whether that be a mobile app or, you know, working with CDR to develop their services, that they are better. I'm going to say better when communities are involved early on in the process. And I think, and to define better, I would say it's things are more comprehensive to what people need and what will resonate with them. So especially in designing for the communities that we work with, you know, throughout the Internet Freedom Space, so there's such a variety of people and different cultures. And honestly, for us sitting here in Lubbock, Texas, like it's, we may have a very different perspective than someone that we're designing for across the world. So I think personally, it's a kind of way to bring perspective to projects that is very necessary. I try to like live outside of my own skin when working on this type of work. Do you guys have anything to add?
I would just say to expand on that, I think like, yes, it makes tools better and it makes them also like more adoptable. So like if people see, like they see a tool and they think this could be cool, but like no one's listening to me and it's not in my language and I don't, like, this doesn't make sense for someone who lives in my context. Like, it just expanding on that importance mm-hmm. of being able to live out of your skin. And the only way we can do that is if we talk to the people who aren't in our skin, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if we, like, go out and we hear, like, what they're saying, and so we can look at our processes of how tools work and say, these are the things that we need to know more about that we don't know, and finding, like, a clear way to ask those questions generally that anyone could answer so that we can make something not general, like, incredibly specific.
Awesome. And then along those lines, what is the best way for users, trainers, and or tool teams to get in touch with you all?
Come to Lubbock, Texas.
Great.
We do have a website. OKThinks.com. And that may be the best way. It has all of our contact, or the best way to contact us would be probably through the website. We do have a Twitter handle. We are OK Thanks. Yeah, probably those. We also have some our Signal number and WhatsApp number, and those are available as well on the website. So.
Excellent. And folks should already be on the website checking out the Exploratorium. So.
Right.
So you all talked a bit about kind of collecting that user feedback and engaging with at-risk users, but can you talk a bit about how you all have previously worked to incorporate that feedback into a design or development process?
Yeah. I guess the easiest place to talk about it is on the projects that we're doing, the design, because it usually always starts out of curiosity. So immediately when something comes into our hands, the project or like a new kind of way to use technology, there are questions, like there are things that they really need to know this and we really need to know, like, how does this align with this community? I would say that there's like a wealth of like questions or things that we want to know in setting out to do a design project. So in terms of how it integrates into the process, I would say it's very natural because it's, you know, setting out to get the answer to these questions and really learn what we need to learn to be able to do the work itself. And then I would say it's not always at the beginning, because oftentimes we are improving on things that are already out there, you know, or putting them in front of a new community or a place where there are like all of a sudden new kind of needs or things happening within the context. So there's this kind of like learning that goes on all the time. But again, it always stems, I would say, from curiosity or something that we want to know or understand and able to, like, to do the next portion of work on something.
Yeah, and speaking to things that had been done prior to the Exploratorium under the Usable Fund, you know, it really does depend, and still to this day depends on, like, at what part of the process we're in. And what stage the product or service is in as well, and sometimes it can be very iterative with, okay, there is a tool that exists, like let's ask the community, you know, have the community give feedback on the existing tool and find out like what may need to be adapted in order to make it adoptable for them, and we'll get that feedback, and then maybe it's like 6 months, or maybe it's a full year, or maybe it's just a couple of weeks later, there's another training on the same tool, and we can then either do the same type of feedback and get that feedback and have more data about it, or we could use another activity to get more you know, like, okay, we've learned this about the tool and how it could fit this community, let's now find out more about this. So again, it does always stem, I think, from curiosity and also, like, what what is it that we're trying to answer? What is it that we want to know more about? And finding the best method to do that is kind of what all these feedback activities are about and the different frameworks. And I think that's why we came up probably with at least 12 general frameworks were based on this idea that things are never very straightforward. And so you need to have a lot of options or different ways to get at answering maybe the same question.
I will say also, this is not related to your question, but Tiffany spoke a bit about doing one activity in one place and then perhaps just a training on the same tool in another place, and maybe we do something a little different. I think what we found in doing activities ourselves is that they're really can serve as great like jump starters of conversation also. Mm-hmm. So it's not always that like I'm going to use, I'll use the one-liners as an example, like I'm going to use this and get everything I need. That's not always the case really, especially with some that are super, super simple, but it's really to like ignite this initial understanding and then put some like things, information on the table, as I like to say often, but like put stuff on the table so we can start to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And start to lead into all kinds of other other things that you may or may want to know. But yeah.
Yeah. And so do you all ever struggle with kind of, once you've captured that feedback from the users, it's kind of your role to somewhat synthesize it and prioritize it before you're sharing it with a tool team. Can you talk a bit about that process or just reviewing the feedback that you have collected?
That part of the process is one of interest, I think, and sometimes one of the most challenging, but also the most fruitful, in that sometimes it's hard to read what people have written or how they've responded. So that part can be challenging, but also it's exciting to see what kind of information has been gathered. And then it kind of depends on which activity was deployed in terms of what and then how we use the information, which is gonna inform the kind of end result. But the process is, yes, we take it, we try to synthesize it, find trends, see what was most interesting, main takeaways, things also where, if it is a tool, where it could be improved. And then try to generate ideas or recommendations around ways we think or we might offer the tool team that they could improve this aspect of the tool. And then we share the information. It can also look different. Like we may do a feedback activity and the feedback we give to the developer may come in a form of a persona, because they're wanting to know more about their end user. And that, again, allows for more conversation as well. And it's not, it's not dictating to the developer, like, we think you should do this, because we're not developers. and we can give recommendations based on what we've heard and learned. But at the end of the day, there's always a budget or development timeline or scope. And so I think just trying to do our best at understanding what we've heard and putting it in a way that will be understood then by the developing team, mm-hmm. and or whoever's going to be using the feedback.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was clear.
I was going to say too, I think this is a little bit kind of off topic, but whenever we were developing the activities, like they obviously didn't start out that like these weren't our first iterations. Like we talked about how like the design process can be very iterative, like how you decide to use which tools, etc. So like some of these started out very different, and we did deploy them and we used them, and the feedback we got was like, I don't know, like if there's ever a language barrier, like it can be really unclear. So like to them how to answer it. So the way that things are worded in the first place to be localized is really important. So I like personally have found an analysis that usually the more complex the activity is, the more difficult it is to analyze because of people's perceptions of, even if it's properly translated, it's their perception of what you mean. So we've had to, I feel like it, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but it has been a challenge to like, how do we word this in the most straightforward, clearest way to really get the information we're looking for, but also to be open to get the information that people have to give. Like even if, mm-hmm. like that it's still valuable, even if it's not what we were expecting to get. Mm-hmm. So to be able, yeah, to like, take it in for like what it is and that it's valuable no matter if it's what we expected to get or not. And yeah.
And I think that brings weird up period. A good point when we, part of designing the exploratorium activities was to really think about, because it can be a challenge and or time consuming to just do analysis on feedback in general, no matter what you've done, who you've spoken to, whether it was one or 12 people. And so to make that process even more streamlined for ourselves in designing the activities, we really thought about, well, what kind of feedback will this give us and what kind of information or and or data then will we have? And so that was part of the process of the actual design. Like a lot of thought was gone with went into
more coffee.
Yeah. A lot of thought went into what kind of information we would be getting back if we did deploy this activity or ask this question in this way.
Yeah. And I'll say on that note too that you'll see on the website where we have activities, there's an example outcome at the end, and that was reflective of this process of saying, okay, what are we going to know by the end of this? Mm-hmm. And being like very rigorous about what do we end up with at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also say one thing that was important in deciding not to do this was capturing the voice of everyone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to get qualitative information, but also quantifying it in some way. Not in a statistical way, but in some way to show weight, right? So the easiest example to use is the first use activity. We're trying to understand, okay, what problems do people run into when they use this thing for the first time? And we wanted to capture, you know, why do you get frustrated or like, where are you confused? Mm-hmm. And capture it in a like, yes, a very like qualitative way, like, I have no idea what you're wanting me to do here. This button's confusing, yada, yada. But then being able to get that information back and have some kind of chart that showed, okay, well, on this, in the section right here on this screen is like where most people got confused. Like maybe only one person was confused about, you know, the very first screen, but everyone's having issues here. Yeah, again, like I think this is also stemming from kind of previous efforts to get feedback. And what is, not always captured when you get like a narrative from the person that ran the event, right?
Mm-hmm.
But trying to like really find ways so that everyone's voice is heard, you know, and accounted for in it.
Yes, I will say from our end, having seen your kind of final culmination of the collection of feedback, the process might be tedious, but the output is really, really beautiful. So yeah. I think you all do a great job of going through that difficult process and process. It works.
Can you talk a little bit about the role that trainers play in the feedback loop?
They're very important.
They're driving the bus.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases, we get opportunities to travel and go and be there with people. And that's great. We love to have those opportunities. We want more of them.
Yeah.
in other cases, it's not, you know? So the idea is really to be able to engage with communities as much as possible. And if we can't be there, even if we can, like, the trainers for us are our touch point mm-hmm. and, like, the trusted partner on the ground that will deploy them, but also help us understand what we need to consider in mm-hmm. doing it. Like, and Tiffany, I'm totally putting you on the spot. Maybe you can speak a little bit to the things that we would think about before someone like hosts an event to get feedback. Mm.
Sure. Yeah. But I think as we've learned, the world is full of many different types of people living in many different types of contexts, and trying to consider what their day-to-day looks like, what their threats are, what they feel comfortable with, where their security concerns are, where their physical concerns are. These would all play into kind of the conversation that would be had with the trusted partner on the ground. And I think Carrie made a good point when she said trusted partner, because they are the ones that are often established within the community, and people, there's less of a barrier to speak with people because they've already established that relationship and work alongside mm-hmm. many of the communities day to day. So they're experiencing many of the same challenges and can speak very clearly to those. So that's kind of like one of our first steps, is to often try to get in contact with one of the trusted partners and speak about, just at a high level, like, is it okay to run a video chat, you know, or a video call? Yes. Okay. Well, which platform? Is it okay to actually have, like, what's the climate of the country currently? And is it okay to, you know, promote this as a workshop or an event or a digital security training? Like, what, how do we even promote it? Okay, where is it located? Like, does it end at a time when there's still enough light and people have safe ways to get home? Or, you know, do we write things down on paper? Is that okay? Can we do audio recordings? I think there's there's often a lot of considerations, and that's needed. And that's what makes a successful event as well, because then the people in the room feel comfortable, and or enough information is explained to where hopefully they feel safe enough to, you know, be able to voice concerns or other concerns that they might have. And that's really important, because in doing any sort of feedback gathering or even just gathering, it's really important to understand and try to alleviate any further concern or anxiety for people, and just be able to have open and honest conversation, which means there needs to be a safe space. So, and that looks different for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
There's also language,
yep.
which in some cases people speak English very well, but don't feel like they do, or don't feel totally comfortable mm-hmm. in the language. In some cases, some people are not comfortable speaking English at all. So it's also like another way that trainers or the local partner, whoever said locally, are super important.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. I feel like we've captured a pretty large breadth of the work that you all do. But for a moment, I just want to take it back to the personal level. So just speaking with you all, it's clear that you're passionate about this work. So do you mind sharing kind of what your motivations are or how you became involved in this work?
Yeah. When you say this work, what part of it are you referring to?
I think for you all, as you wear the many different hats, you can kind of interpret it as you will, you know, as a designer or as a UX expert or working with at-risk communities or working with tool teams, any piece that speaks to you personally. I'd love to hear more about kind of how you first got involved and why you continue to do this work.
Casey, you should go first.
started out in professionally, I started out in more of a marketing advertising realm because I didn't even know this was a thing. I'm going to be real honest with you. I liked printing things that I could hold in my hands and making but I got, I don't know, there's such a longer story, but it's so not necessary for this. Basically, I met Carrie in a yoga class, and she offered me a job, and I needed a job badly. I was interested in UX and UI, and I had an opportunity to work in it, and it just so happened to be in a space like this. And coming from personally, like the marketing world, I found that I felt like my soul was being sucked out every day. Like this work is pointless and it's doing nothing for the world, and I'm just putting money in the pockets of rich people who don't need it, and they're not giving it to their employees, me, and like. So I guess just like knowing from the very beginning, like the very first project that I was given a brief on, I was like, wait, so like this is to help people who were like, this is to help people? Like these are people who have like are severely like monitored and censored, and like this is so unfair. And I guess just I already have a soft spot for people, and like I want, I just love people, and yeah. And so to think that like the work that I could do as a graphic designer could actually help people find their voice and like find freedom and like know that they're special. Not, it's true, but it's not the weight of the word I'm looking for. Like that they're of worth and like they matter. Like to think that that's possible by designing some one-liner activities. Like, I think sometimes it can be hard to like keep that like big picture mentality, but at a high level, like that's personally where I'm at. And I think it just matters a lot that if like you're not passionate about what you're doing, first of all, you're not going to do a good job at it. And that if it doesn't matter, and if the work you're doing doesn't matter, you're not going to be passionate about it. And so just being able to do something that actually impacts people's lives, and coming from a very Western, like very safe place in the world where I live, it's so fresh all the time. Like just to imagine, like not wanting to admit, first of all, like how sheltered and naive we can be to the pains of other people in the world. So I think that's another thing that just kind of keeps everything in perspective.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
You purposely put me on the spot. It's fine.
Oh my goodness. I'll say for myself, in working in this sphere, I fell into it, honestly. But I am very, I don't know, driven by, I think the part that excites me the most is that there are a lot of different things that are possible with technology. I see Guardian Product leading this effort a lot, but just finding new ways to do things that keep people's information private and keep them safe, but also open up this like realm of opportunity that isn't currently possible. And I personally get really excited about what we can do here, you know. And I think the layer that we add, and maybe talking about the layer isn't really the right way to talk about it, but is making these technologies personal to people. So like, look what we can do. Like, this is possible. This is amazing. Now let's like see how this lines up, you know, how does it really become meaningful to someone, and useful to someone? That's my very short answer.
Let's see. I was 2 and I said I wanted to work on the computer. No.
Computers were not really around. I started doing Legos when I was 2 months old.
Not me. I've always had a very curious mind and as well loved people and cultures and learning more about them and just learning. And I think it is a beautiful intersection between technology and possibility. And I too get excited just about being able to create things and think about how to use even what we have today to make impact or to make someone's life more free or more enjoyable or more useful, and whatever level that comes in at. Whether it be the technology or just the conversation that we're able to have sitting across the screen from somebody, you know, I think all of these are impactful and getting to be a part of that and getting opportunities to do that and to learn more about this world and about the people who live in it is really, I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
All beautiful answers.
Can we turn the question on y'all now?
It's a different section. Recording.
We're going to continue on. Okay, thank you.
All right, Adriana, I'll let you close us out with our final question.
All right, this is a fun one. What are future plans for OK Thanks?
What are they? I would love to know.
Well, so tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we have.
Yes.
Tomorrow we have some time set aside to celebrate some of the things that were accomplished over the last 2 months. On a personal level, I had been gone for 2 months having a baby and learning how to have 3 kids, and me and Casey carried the okay thanks torch, and we have a lot to celebrate. And so that is tomorrow in our future, I think. There you go. No, if we're talking about, I mean, there are many thoughts about the future, of course, but if we're talking about this work specifically, I would say the things that we were able to do with you guys through the UX Fund were a starting point. And it was like one step in a larger goal to be able to engage communities and interact with people, again, in a more personal level and more often and more frequently. In a safe way and in an effective way, you know. So in continuing that on, it could look a lot of different ways. I know with this opportunity, we're not doing anything developing any like digital technology because the focus is to gather feedback. The focus is really to work with teams and kind of develop the activities and also deploy things for teams so that they have insight in what they're doing. So there is a side of it that about the information gathering and analysis that I think can be a couple things more secure. I'll elaborate on that a little bit because that's a little general. But more secure, more streamlined for going through the analysis process. So we've talked to like, this is probably the very beginning of the project, but about having, a secure survey would be like the very bare way to talk about it. But it could be, you know, more customized to different inputs and more customized to some activities, like getting an audio snippet of someone talking about the last experience they had when the internet was shut down. I don't like see it as a typical survey tool, but I will say like the kind of secure ways of gathering information right now aren't super engaging, and there is a challenge in just getting those up and running and getting people to interact with them. So I would love to build this out further in that aspect. Are there any other things about our future that you guys want to chat about?
Yeah.
Future opportunities to work alongside you two would be great.
I think overall, like, the last year and a half that I've been here, there's been a lot of opportunities to, like, go and learn from people and go places like UX Forum and different, like, IFF and just different opportunities to go and, like, be face-to-face with people in the community. And I would say just, like, getting as much of that in as possible to create relationships, because, like, I mean, getting to go to the UX Forum kind of led to this, you know, and it's helped, like, fuel other projects that we've gotten to take on. So I would say just, like, networking is much, it's kind of an ongoing thing. Going places, meeting people, mm-hmm. and, like Tiffany said, getting to work with you guys more, but getting to work more with people that we meet that we wouldn't meet here.
We'll consider this your formal invitation to the next UX Forum.
Great.
We'll be there with our exploratory.
Emojis in tow.
I also like there's a persona back there, a usable persona.
Yes. I would say, or I guess they
staged.
Would add, no,
no. They sit here all
the time. We love, I mean, we would love people to be able to use these exploratorium activities. We'd love to hear what other people are doing, what's working for them, what's not working. Mm-hmm. We'd love feedback on the activities if they have ideas for new ones. Like, we really want it to be a community built, a community built
thing.
Yeah. That's a better word. A community built grouping of activities. And, you know, the goal is to facilitate conversation and participatory design. And those things are important. And we would love, we'd love to be able to continue the work and continue it alongside others.
Yeah, and I would say just naturally, there will, as we come up with new ideas do things on projects that we're working on, if there are things that find useful that we have found useful and effective, we'll add those to the set, and encourage anyone else to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can add more to the answer, but I can also not.
For the second version, the second interview series.
You asked about the future.
I like that you're dreaming big. I like it. So I guess we'll just close quickly with a reminder for folks to check out your website at okthanks.com, where they can find the Exploratorium as well as contact info for the three of you if they want to continue conversations or provide feedback or share their own experiences. Thank you all three again so much. We love chatting with you, and we hope that everyone else enjoys the conversation as well. And we will be in touch soon.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.